morning, everyone, and welcome to LPAC's third quarter 2017 earnings conference call. With us this morning, we have from LPAC Jose Valdez, CEO, Eduardo Escalante, CFO, and Hernan Lozano, IRO, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions that you might have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website, www.lpac.com. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Lozano. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. This call will be divided into two parts. First, Mr. Valdez and Mr. Escalante will provide a general overview of LPAC's third quarter 2017 performance. Afterwards, we will have a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. LPAC undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Pepe Valdez.
Thank you. Thank you, Hernan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Sequential improvement in our underlying polyester results after second quarter 17 and better than expected performance in the plastic and chemical segment were outweighed by non-recurring charges associated to M&G's financial distress. For almost two decades, LPAC has had a stable business relationship with M&G, which is currently our largest PTA customer. All of the PET that M&G produces in Mexico, as well as the vast majority of its Brazilian PET, is manufactured with LPAC's PTA. Hence, sales to M&G represent approximately 11% of our consolidated sales. We were surprised by the sudden lack of payments from M&G, and the dialogue with M&G management did not provide any clarity. The situation at the beginning of September, was indicative of significant liquidity constraints in M&G's operations. Under these circumstances, LPAC had to act decisively to keep its exposure from growing by halting PTA supply during the third quarter. As of today, M&G's PET plant in Mexico is shut down, and its Brazilian site has continued operations with limited liquidity. M&G is also our counterparty in the Corpus Christi plant offtake agreements. Between 2013 and 2016, LPAC paid $435 million for the supply rights to 500,000 tons per year of PET from the integrated plant that M&G is building in Corpus Christi, Texas. At the end of 2016, we also granted a $90 million loan to support M&G's plan for a PET plant startup before year-end 2017. We were aware that the project was facing overruns as construction costs in the U.S. Gulf Coast have increased in the past few years, but were led to believe that M&G will be able to implement its startup plan. Unfortunately, construction work at the Corpus Christi plant also stopped recently due to liquidity constraints. We believe that a definitive solution to M&G's financial problems will require a comprehensive restructuring plan. In our view, the first step towards a definitive solution is to restart M&G Mexico's profitable PET operations. LPAC has engaged M&G and its creditors to find a temporary mechanism that would allow PTA supply to resume while providing certain guarantees. We are confident that a solution will be set forth to support M&G Mexico's operation during a potential restructuring process. The second step towards a definitive solution is for the company to present a formal restructuring plan. Our exposure in a potential M&G restructuring process is twofold. Number one, claims related to M&G's PET operations in Mexico and Brazil. And number two, claims related to M&G's Corpus Christi project. As of the third quarter, our claims related to M&G PET operations in Mexico and Brazil were more than $100 million in unsecured PTA accounts receivable. In addition to the unsecured receivables, we acquired from Inbursa all credit rights to a $100 million secured loan with M&G Mexico earlier this month. The acquired credit rights are secured by a first lien on M&G Mexico's PET production facility in Altamira. Mexico, which has an installed capacity of approximately 560,000 tons per year and is located next to our largest PTA site. Regarding M&G's Corpus Christi project, our claims are secured by a second lien on the Corpus Christi assets. It is important to note that the estimated value of the Corpus Christi asset is significantly larger than the aggregate amount of the first and second liens. We feel confident of our position as a secure creditor and key supplier in any M&G restructuring scenario. Alpek is fully committed to have a relevant role in this process to maximize restitution and long-term shareholder value. Moving on to other third quarter events, we were pleased to see the sequential improvement of our underlying results after a weak second quarter, driven by a 20% increase in comparable polyester EBITDA. Recent polyester industry developments include petitions to investigate unfairly traded PET imports into the United States and Canada. In the United States, petitions were filed with the Department of Commerce and the International Trade Commission against Brazil, Indonesia, Korea, Pakistan, and Taiwan. In Canada, PET resin imports from China, India, Oman, and Pakistan are being investigated by the Canada Border Services Agency. In coming months, the DOC will determine whether to initiate an investigation in the U.S. The ITC will reach a preliminary determination on whether there is material injury, and the Canadian authority could apply preliminary import duties. On the investment front, we completed another one of our strategic projects, the 75,000 ton per year capacity expansion of our EPS plant in Altamira, Mexico, making it one of the top five largest facilities in the world. Also, our Altamira Power Cogeneration Plant is on track and on cost to start operations before year-end 2018. Regarding the potential acquisition in Brazil, the most recent development is related to the transactions evaluation process in Brazil by CADE, or the Administrative Council for Economic Defense. CADE declared this case as complex, which is a procedural act that allows a 90-day extension to the initial 240-day term that started in July. We knew this was a potential scenario that would likely move the potential closing to the first half of 2018. We maintain an optimistic outlook and will continue working closely with CADE and with Petrobras to obtain approval of the transaction. In the meantime, we are engaged in the final selection stage to choose one of the offers received from potential investors for our Cosoleacaque and Altamira power cogeneration plants. We have discussed in the past the relevance of this initiative as an alternative source of funding for the Brazilian acquisition and as a catalyst to unlock value for Alpek shareholders. We will provide updates on any news related to this matter. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Eduardo, who will discuss our financial results.
Thank you, Pepe, and good morning, everyone. Our 3Q17 financials include full provisions and impairments that cover our exposure to M&G. In accordance to IFRS, we recognized the following non-recurring items: a $113 million provision for accounts receivable impairment, which affected EBITDA, a $435 million intangible asset impairment associated with Alpek's capacity rights in Corpus Christi, which affected operating income or EBIT, a $95 million financial assets impairment associated with the loan granted to M&G, which affected financial cost net, and a $223 million deferred tax, which benefited income tax. The aggregate net impact to Alpek's 3Q17 consolidated net income was $420 million. Also, some of our balance sheet accounts include the M&G-related provisions and impairments. Accounts receivable were reduced by the full accounts receivable provision. Intangible assets were reduced by a $360 million portion of the $435 million impairment. The remainder impacted other non-current assets. Other non-current assets were reduced by $8 million, as negative impact from the $95 million financial asset impairment, plus the $75 million remainder of the intangible asset impairment, was offset by a $162 million portion of the benefit in deferred taxes. On the side of liabilities and stockholders' equity, we have other long-term liabilities were reduced by the remainder of the benefit in deferred taxes, or $61 million, and stockholders' equity was reduced by $420 million of aggregate provision and impairment impacted to consolidated net income. Having covered the accounting effect of the non-recurring items associated to M&G, let's discuss briefly our underlying 3Q17 results. Third quarter consolidated volume was up 1% year-on-year and decreased 2% when compared with the second quarter, mainly due to lower PTA sales to M&G, as well as feedstock supply disruptions that negatively impacted the plastics and chemicals segment. Alpek's third quarter consolidated revenue increased 6% versus 3Q16 and was flat quarter-on-quarter, as mixed volume growth was offset by higher average consolidated prices in both business segments. Third quarter consolidated EBITDA was $3 million, including the $113 million M&G provision and a $9 million non-cash inventory gain. Adjusting for the M&G provision and inventory gain, Alpek's 3Q17 comparable EBITDA was $108 million, 9% higher than the previous quarter, driven by a 20% increase in comparable polyester EBITDA. In contrast with the second quarter's unplanned outages and declining oil price environment, during the third quarter, our polyester segment benefited from stable plant operations and a favorable recovery in oil and feedstock prices. 3Q17 comparable plastics and chemicals EBITDA was flat quarter-on-quarter, as higher margins were offset by lower volume. Yet, the plastics and chemicals segment has consistently posted better-than-expected EBITDA and is on track to beat full-year guidance. Moving down on the P&L, Alpek posted a third quarter consolidated majority net loss of $400 million and a year-to-date loss of $289 million, including an aggregate impact of $460 million from non-recurring provisions and impairments associated to M&G. Adjusting for the M&G impact, Alpek's majority net income in the third quarter and year-to-date was $16 million and $127 million, respectively. Regarding our balance sheet and cash flow, we have a strong financial position that is supported by positive cash generation in any M&G restructuring scenario. At the end of the third quarter, net debt was $1.2 billion, up 30% year-over-year and 13% versus the previous quarter. On an absolute basis, net debt increased in 3Q17 $135 million of the total $151 million year-to-date. This year's two largest cash flow items are CapEx, which has been mainly invested in strategic projects, and dividends. In terms of liquidity, our cash balance grew 138% to $447 million during 3Q17. Additional funding is also available through Alpek's unused credit lines. We are prepared to act promptly in our company's best interest, as we did earlier this month with the acquisition of Inbursa's secure M&G loan. Our net leverage ratio increased to 3.2 times, mainly due to the M&G provision that affected EBITDA. Adjusting for the $113 million non-recurring charge, net debt to EBITDA was 2.4 times, and interest coverage was 7 times. It is important to note that even though our credit metrics may be pressured temporarily due to the M&G-related distortions, we do not anticipate a long-term impact in any M&G restructuring scenario. I would like to wrap up the call with a few comments on our outlook amid M&G's financial distress. The halt of PTA supply to M&G that affected Alpek in the third quarter and so far in the fourth quarter was not considered in our 2017 guidance. Unfortunately, we are unable to provide a 4Q17 update with the information available at this time, or without disclosing sensitive customer-specific figures. However, we can share a preliminary 2018 EBITDA estimate. Our base case is to resume PTA supply to M&G in the short term. But even in an extreme full M&G shutdown scenario for 2018, we expect EBITDA to recover back to a range of $450 to $500 million. Lost PTA sales to M&G would be partially offset with higher internal PTA consumption, higher domestic PET sales volume, savings from our strategic projects, and higher PTA exports. Additionally, 2018 EBITDA would not be affected by the non-recurring M&G provision recognized in 2017. This concludes my remarks, and I would now like to open the call for questions. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place their questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1. We'll take our first question from Nicolaj Littman with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Where do I start? I think I'll try to limit myself to two questions here. First, on the guarantees of the lien on the M&G assets. You're writing down the entire exposure to M&G. You're adding an additional exposure with $100 million. I think the strategic rationale is very clear. But what I'm interested in is, what is the criteria? Would you have, for writing down, would you potentially have to write down that $100 million in the next quarter? Or do you feel better about that guarantee than you did in the guarantee or the lien on the assets for Corpus Christi? Also, can you expand on what exactly would be the criteria for you to be able to take control of these assets, either in Altamira or potentially down the road in Corpus Christi, and operate those assets? And my next question, and final question is, you know, if what would be the next steps, or what would be key things to look for if M&G files for bankruptcy protection? And it's a, sort of a very nice open question there. Thank you very much.
Okay, Nicolai, let me answer part of your question, and perhaps I will ask Eduardo to help me with some of it, particularly with the auditor decision to write off the full amount for the second lien. As I mentioned before, well, in the case of first lien we acquired from Inbursa in the Altamira plant, the main reason for doing that was that we can have more influence, particularly in the decision to restart the plant. As I mentioned in my presentation, for us, one of the key issues is to restart Altamira as soon as possible. This is very important. Altamira, as I mentioned, is a competitive plant, is a profitable plant, generates positive cash flow, and we believe it's for the good of all the creditors of that plant to have this plant back on the stream. And we just realized in this process that for us to have a voice and to be able to influence this program, we it was very important for us to have the first lien, and that's on the one hand. On the second hand, we associate extremely low risk of this $100 million not being recovered. We do believe the assets in Altamira are worth much more than that. So that's why I guess that was also the decision from the auditor not to write off that loan or the first lien investment, and I understand this will not be done in the next quarters. So it's a decision that the auditor has already determined. In terms of the decision of the auditor to write down the $435 million, I will let Eduardo explain that later. And let me jump now to the restructuring process. Well, we don't know yet what type of restructuring is going to continue. But what I could say, Nicolai, I think in both cases, in Altamira and also in Corpus, most likely scenario is that once these plants are restructured, they will be put on sale. So there will be a sale process for both of these plants. Okay? We are obviously interested as APEC in participating in that process. I believe that's all I can say now. Perhaps, Eduardo, if you could help me explain the write-down of the $435 million.
Sure. Thank you, Nicolai, for the questions. We had extensive discussions and analysis with our external auditors in order to define how we were going to recognize the impact of this M&G situation. It was a decision was made to recognize the full impact in order to be conservative and follow a very, very conservative accounting practices. I would say that we do think that some of the scenarios that we are contemplating for the future would generate some restitution of these impacts. However, not having a clear picture of what is going to happen, we decided to go on the conservative route. Regarding the $100 million new credit facility that we acquired from Inbursa that Pepe just mentioned, there is a significant difference between this new credit and the previous transactions that we did with M&G, and that is the Altamira facility is already up and running. I mean, it was up and running before, and this lack of payments, and we expect that to come back in the short term to continue operating. So I would say that is a significant difference. And considering that the guarantee, as Pepe mentioned, is more than covered by the estimated value of the facility, we won't be needing to recognize this as a write down in our books.
Thank you very much, both of you. Two follow-up questions, if I may. So you feel, and I think the operational criteria is clear. Would that also mean that if Corpus Christi starts operation, you would reverse some of the provisions that you're making for that planned one and two? I don't know if you can expand on how you feel, which of the two provisions in Corpus that you feel, I guess, least bad about, the $90, $95 million loan, or the $435 million CapEx for the economic rights?
If Corpus starts, it will really depend on the outcome of the restructuring of the debt that Corpus has. That will determine what part of these provisions will be restituted into our accounting. However, as we mentioned before, the $435 million are guaranteed by a second lien in Corpus, and we estimate the current value of the investment is significantly higher than the value of the first lien and second lien. So we feel confident that we'll be able to get restitution on some of these write downs.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of the $90 million, that could be potentially a little bit more at risk. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Vincent Falanga with Bank of America.
Thank you, Pepe, Eduardo, Urna. We had basically three questions here. First of all, a bit more on this acquisition of the Inbursa debt. From an M&G perspective, I mean, what is the great advantage of switching this debt to different hands? I mean, we understand that from an operational standpoint, Alpek could help to restart the plant. But from a financial standpoint, I mean, what Alpek be providing some sort of a grace period to M&G? And then if the M&G situation is quickly resolved like you guys expect to, does Alpek plan to sell this debt to the market again? And then on the other hand, I mean, if M&G situation is not resolved, I mean, would Alpek think about potentially taking over a part of the PT plant in Altamira as a creditor? And then my second question, regarding the provision of $113 million booked for M&G's receivables, is this all that Alpek had to receive from M&G, or could there be more receivables coming from the plant in Brazil? And then finally, regarding your estimated EBITDA range of $450 million to $500 million in 2018, does this include any gains from COSO and Altamira? And I would guess this does not include Corpus Christi also, but just wanted to check. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me answer the first question. I mean, the reason for acquiring the $100 million loan from Inbursa, honestly, was to give us more of a voice in this process. As you probably are familiar with, the secured creditors have a lot of voice in the restructuring process, as opposed to the unsecured. And so far we have seen the benefits of this decision we made. We are in constant communication with the company to provide and discuss the plans of the startup of the plant. And we believe we have made a lot of progress. I think Eduardo already mentioned that we believe it's very likely that the Altamira plant will restart soon. And to be honest, I don't think if we had not acquired this loan, we would be starting the plan as soon as we believe it's going to restart. So that was the main benefit of this $100 million. And as I mentioned before, we feel this loan is completely protected in any case. If the company decides that to put the asset for sale, we would get back over $100 million would be the first that would be paid. Let's assume you sell the plant in 200. The first $100 million out of that sale would be coming to us. So that's why we consider this a very low risk, a scenario. And that was the reason. The reason mainly was to be a little bit more, if I may say, in control of the process to restart the plant. And as I say, so far with 1 week we have been in this, we are already seeing the benefits of having done that. And as I mentioned, we have high hopes that we will be able to restart the plan in the very near term. With respect to the $113 million, these $113 million include all receivables. Absolutely all the receivables we have, including Mexico and Brazil. And again, we do see scenarios where we could get, restitution of this $113 million. We believe we can do that. We have some of our contracts with the company are very attractive, and if they do not pay back our receivables, then they will have to lose the rights to this contract. So we believe we're going to have some restitution of that. But again, as Eduardo mentioned before, we are taking a very conservative approach here, and if we get some of those back, again going back to Nikolai's question. Once we get them back, those will be reinstated, or those will be increased to our EBITDA numbers. And that, I would say that's the other thing. The $400 and $500 million, they do not include any benefit from the cogeneration sale. And I would say, just to make sure that you understood that, this $450 to $500 assume that the Altamira plant will not restart for the full year. Okay? So if Altamira starts back up, as we expect, then of course those numbers will be better.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, just to follow up on Altamira and Coso. I mean, you mentioned in a press release that you're in the final stages of finding a buyer for your cogen facilities. Does this include both Coso and Altamira, or only Coso?
Well, good question. We have decided at this time that we will go ahead with both, selling both. We have the option. We have several options, and we decided, and to a certain extent, as you can imagine, this situation with M&G, of course, is a significant challenge for us. But at the same time, it could represent very attractive opportunities. So given that, we decided to go ahead and divest both plants.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Felipe Sanchez of J.P. Morgan.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Just one follow-up question. Given the amount of receivables investments you have done in the Corpus Christi plant, how would you would you rank yourselves against versus the other people that or the companies that have put money in the plant, meaning that what would be the rank of order that you could receive the money back or to be participating actively in the taking over of the plant, if you can put this way. And the same thing applies to Totamira, meaning that with this acquisition of the Bursa receivables, and that how would it be one of the first ones to be taking over the plant or having the chance to do that?
Okay, I think what the position we have in the case of Altamira, again, assuming the plant is going to be sold to you know, whoever buys that plant, we would be the first creditor. I mean, the first 100 million that are paid for the plant would come to us. That's the case of Altamira. In the case of Corpus, we have a second lien. There is a first lien before us, owned by Inbursa. And then again, what that means, if there is a sale process in the plant, then what would happen? The first amount of money, I mean, would be used to cover the first lien, and the money after that would be for the second lien. So in case of Altamira, we are the first creditor. In case of Corpus, we are the second creditor in line. Okay.
Okay. Great. This is helpful.
Yeah, and again, the other important thing for you to understand is if we decided to participate in the acquisition of these companies or projects, we can credit bid our first and second lien.
Okay, got it. Would you consider taking the same action as you did with this Inbursa receivables debt? For the Corpus Christi, as to become one of the first one to have a chance to take over the plant?
Well, look, the difference between Altamira and Corpus Christi, in Altamira, as I mentioned, there was a sense of urgency because of the start or restart of the plant. In the case of Corpus, there is no such, there is not that sense of urgency.
Okay.
If we decide to participate in the bidding for that plant, we just have to, you know, either pay the first lien at the right time or roll that loan. And that's a decision we have not made. In Altamira, it was a very pressing decision for the reason that we want the plant restarted.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much.
And we'll take our next question from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Hi, thank you for that call. I have a couple of questions on the guidance, worst-case guidance that you provided for 2018. If you can specify a little bit more on what's the assumption that you're making for the polyester and plastics and chemical cycle in terms of margins, and more specifics on what you say are the drivers. I mean, higher internal PTA consumption, higher domestic PET sales. I mean, who are the customers for these added sales that you are mentioning embedded in the guidance? Thank you.
Okay, Vanessa, look, we pretended this $450-$500 million EBITDA guidance to be a very conservative case. As I mentioned before, we are assuming that in this case, the Altamira plant does not restart, and we are not including any potential gain from the divestment of cogeneration. We are not including any benefit from a potential anti-dumping. If we were to succeed, to have a successful result in anti-dumping, we are not including any of that. We are not including, or we're not assuming any increase in the margins of PET in Asia, which, by the way, today in October, they have shown a significant rebound. Margins in Asia have increased, you know, this month, particularly in Asia, not China. they have increased like I would say at least like $50. So the margins in Asia, as we speak of PET, are relatively are much healthier than before, and we are assuming that the margins will go back to the levels of the last 2 or 3 years. But there is apparently a certain strength in the margin that we believe they might stay at a higher level. But we're not including that in our forecast. The only thing we're including, I mean, of course, we are including certain sales of PTA to our plants in the U.S. Just for all of you to be familiar, in the U.S., we are currently buying more than 400,000 tons per year of PTA. Okay? But we do have some contracts, and some of these contracts, you know, have a certain flexibility into them. So we are assuming we want to ship some PTA into the U.S., a relatively small portion, and not really too much volume, but perhaps 8 to 10,000 tons per month going to the U.S. There is some additional PTA for export markets. And the other thing we are assuming, it's an increase in volume of PET. And this increase in volume, to a certain extent, it has to do with the fact that, again, the anti-dumping is in progress. And again, there have been some opportunities to sell more PTA also as a result of the M&G situation. So we are including that, but there is still plenty of room to do better than what we are saying. The idea was to share with you what we consider to be a pessimistic scenario so that you had an idea of what the floor of EBITDA would be for us. But for sure, we expect to do better than that.
Okay, and that's very helpful, Pepe. And about the sale of cogeneration plants that you mentioned, you decided to sell both of them. Is this 100% of both of them, just to clarify? Thank you.
That is the idea. That is the idea. The offers we have is for 100%.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Eduardo Azamirano with HSBC.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. Mine is more along the lines of what Nikolai asked earlier. What other assets does Inbursa hold claims on other than Corpus Christi? I think there might have been the West Virginia assets as well, if I might not be confused, as well as if you are negotiating with any of the other creditors, such as our understanding being Banco Next, Banco Brasil, Banorte, who hold claims on some of, M&G's other claims, assets in the Americas, and what the expectation would be of you moving forward. And then I'll follow with them to follow up after this.
Look, the other asset, Eduardo, that I believe, but Inbursa has some other loans. In all of them, they have a first lien. They had the first lien in Altamira for $100 million. They have a first lien in Brazil for $120 million. And they have a first lien in Corpus for $400 and something million. As I mentioned, we are interested in the Altamira case. In the case of Brazil, we are not going to do anything. I would say that Brazil, same situation as Altamira. The Brazilian plant is operating even today. So they will have their. They will have the loan there, so there is no intention from our side to participate in Brazil in that sense. And again, in Corpus we mentioned they are number one, we are number two. We'll have to wait for the company decides, and then based on that we will decide our strategy. And same in Altamira.
Okay, thank you. So there are no other assets, just from my understanding. I apologize.
I am sorry. You're probably right. Inbursa also has the guarantee of the Virginia assets, of the Apple Grove assets. Yeah, they also have the guarantee of that. But that is like, I mean, that's part of the, together with the first lien of the corpus, they also have a guarantee on the Apple Grove assets.
Right. And so would there be any interest in negotiating for the, let's say, Inbosys position there as well? I mean, this is a turnkey facility.
No, we do not have any interest in the Virginia plant.
Okay. All right. And just to clarify as well, there's no interest in the Brazil plant at the moment.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Christian Landy with Scotiabank.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I was wondering, would it be what would be the kind of investment, the amount you guys might need for if Alpek decided to acquire or take over the Corpus Christi plant from M&G? I know it might be a little bit too early to ask that, but if that would be feasible, considering the antitrust authority allows this kind of operation, and wouldn't you prefer to go for that asset instead of the assets in Brazil from Suape and Zitepe? Thank you.
The question would be, remember, I mean, we have to wait to see what happens in Corpus. In Corpus, perhaps one of our preferred solutions would be to remain as we are with the capacity reservation, if that was to be possible. And if not, well, we'll have to take a look in participating in that. But in the case of Suape and in Petrobras assets in Brazil, we are already committed to that. So there is no way back for us there, and we still value those as the strategic assets for us. So what I'm trying to say is, for us, the assets in Brazil are important, the assets in Corpus are very important, but in particularly the 500,000-ton capacity reservation that we already have. Okay? I think we will be flexible to analyze other options in Corpus as long as we can maintain over 500,000 tons capacity reservation.
Okay, thank you. One more question, if I might. Do you believe that an announcement of the cogen plant sale will happen before year end?
I will believe we have a let's say, a binding offer before the end of the year. But we will, there are some permits that, will be required to transfer the assets. So I believe the obtention of those permits will probably take until first quarter next year. So I believe the transaction should be closed by the end of this year. But or sign or whatever, but the exchange will be probably first quarter next year. I would like to apologize. I have to leave to another meeting right now. So thank you very much for the call, and Eduardo and Hernan will continue to answer your questions. Goodbye and thank you all.
Thank you, Pepe.
And we'll take our next question from Andres Cardona with Citi.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for the call. Just have a quick question regarding the guidance you provide for 2018. Can you break it down between the polyester and the plastic segment, please?
Hi, Andres. Thanks for the question. We do not have that breakdown. As we mentioned before, these are very preliminary numbers. We'll be providing a full guidance for 2018 early next year.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
And we'll take our next question from Chelsea Colomb with TIA Investment.
Hi, and thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions. The first one is related to the cash flows and liquidity. I see that quarter over quarter, your cash balance, but also your short-term debt increased. And I'm wondering if you can bridge the gap between the negative cash flow and the increase in the cash balance. I mean, did you draw down some of your credit lines? And then kind of related to that, what is the amount of available committed credit lines that are undrawn currently?
Sure. Thank you, Chelsea. We did draw from some of our committed credit lines. In part the reason why you see in excess of $440 million cash on hand at the end of September. And the reason for that is it was just to be ready for the restructuring process of M&G to have enough resources in order to be able to react quickly to any potential steps that may interest us. We still have committed credit lines available for south of $200 million that we can use at any time. Again, I think our cash position and balance sheet strength is more than enough, as we mentioned before, to go ahead with any restructuring scenario of M&G.
Okay, thanks. And then also, is there a way that you could quantify how much of the polyester EBITDA decline year over year was due to the lack of sales of M&G to of PTA to M&G?
The PTA sales of M&G were only affected a little bit in August and in September, so we still haven't seen that effect fully. Which again, we do not think that is going to last very long, since we do expect that the Altamira plant to restart in the short term.
In terms of your sales to M&G, what percentage go to the Altamira plant versus the one in Brazil, roughly?
I would say roughly is about 2/3 to Altamira and about 1/3 to Brazil.
And then just my last question, theoretically, if the Corpus Christi asset is sold to another player, would it be possible for you to write back up your $435 million investment, or at least part of it, if you still have in place a similar sourcing agreement?
Certainly, one way would be if we get back our capacity reservation agreement, but the other way would be anybody who takes over that project will have to cover the first lien and second lien, and we do have a guarantee regarding the $435 million with our second lien.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question from Sam Ifeanya with Wellington Management.
Thank you, gentlemen, for doing the call. And I don't know if you can hear me clearly. I think most of my questions have been answered. Maybe on the sort of theoretical takeover of the Corpus Christi plant and the Altamira plant, are you worried about antitrust issue in both cases, and have you been able to talk to regulators about a potential transaction given the M&G financial distress? Thank you.
As you know, Sam, we do hold a significant position regarding the PET capacity in both countries, Mexico and North America and the U.S. We have not moved forward with any antitrust discussions, since it's way too early in the restructuring process. We will move along the process as it comes.
Thank you. That's helpful. If I may follow up, what's the expectation in terms of the Altamira plant? As you seem confident that this could restart. What makes you confident, and if so, can it be done before year-end? Thank you.
We do feel confident that the plant will restart in the short term. There have been significant efforts both on the company side as well as on the creditors in order to restart the plant. So we think it will. We think it will very, very soon. As Pepe mentioned before, Alpek's priority has been to restart the plant in order to be able to continue the supply of PET to the North American market.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Gilberto Garcia with Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Given the fairly broad range of scenarios that we have been discussing, is there any scenario where you might consider raising equity to acquire or take control over the Corpus assets?
Thanks, Gilberto, for the question. Again, it's way too early to tell. As you mentioned, there is a broad range of scenarios that may happen with the restructuring process. We'll play along the process as it moves.
Okay, and a follow up on that subject, if I may, have you talked to Alfa about the what the needs are going to be from them and your own potential for the dividend for next year?
Our dividends will depend on what happens. Both with the M&G restructuring process as well as the Cogen assets sale and the Suape acquisition. As you see, we do have a lot of moving parts before we are able to sit down with Alfa and define the dividends that we'll be paying next year.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Guillermo Diego with Santander.
Yes, hello. Just on the Cogen assets, when you say transfer, is because you're considering a different scheme from a normal sale, such as a REIT, no, for COSO? And what would be the impact in margins from leaving the cost saving from COSO Locaque? $7-10 million, no, for the year? And the second question is, considering the valuation of Corpus, would you say it's fair to value Altamira at around $500-600 million?
Regarding the Cogen assets, we do plan, as Pepe mentioned, to sell 100% of the assets. We do not consume in our facilities next to COSO a significant amount of power from the Cogen. Most of the power is sold to third parties through long-term contracts, so we don't foresee any impact in our costs. We are, and regarding your second question, we are considering a direct sale of the assets. That's our base case, and that is our priority at this time.
Okay, and for the valuation of Altamira?
We will not disclose the value of the Altamira facility.
Thank you.
What I can tell you, mention something. What I can tell you is the full investment in the Altamira Cogen facility is $350 million.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Okay? Sure.
And we'll take our last question from Felipe Santos with J.P. Morgan.
Yes, thank you again for the final question. Just to understand strategically one step, if you end up acquiring or taking over the plants from MEG and also having the plant with the acquisition of Petrobras plant here in Brazil, would you have an idea in terms of capacity, what will be shutting down, what will be not, what will be maintaining, what will be putting aside, given that the Americas as a whole, do you have like overcapacity?
Thanks, Felipe, for the follow-up question. If we are able, as it is our priority to acquire the Brazilian facility as well as maintain our capacity reservation in Corpus, we would be going back to our original base case before the liquidity crisis of M&G. So at this time, we will simply get back to that situation. We'll plan to keep both assets up and running at full capacity.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And we'll take our last question from Liliana Juarez with JMB. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just have a quick follow-up. Considering a scenario where M&G is no longer a customer, do you have an estimate approximately how much of the volume could be replaced and how long would it take to replace a customer like M&G?
Sure, Liliana. If M&G is not a customer but the Altamira plant is up and running, we would be having the same PTA volume sales as we did before. It is really a matter of keeping the Altamira plant, the PET plant, up and running as well as the Brazilian facility.
Okay, but in the short term, does it make more sense to sell it in the domestic market or you will be destining more volume for export?
The Altamira plant used to supply a part of their production to the Mexican domestic market as well as some exports to the U.S. So there is a room in both markets for that plant.
Okay. Thank you very much. And another question. Sure. Could you give me a little more insight about the guarantees you have in Corpus Christi?
Sure. In the case of Corpus, we have a second lien that guarantees our $435 million capacity reservation.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
No other questions in the queue. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Lozano for any additional or closing remarks.
I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call, and please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments. Have a nice day.
And once again, that does conclude today's presentation. We thank you all for your participation, and you may now disconnect.